Tell your smartphone to smarten up. Subscribe to the Brady and Walker podcast at iTunes or with your favorite podcatcher. Sportsnet 590 The Fan. On demand. The Leafs drop Detroit to win their second straight.
Pozak getting around the defense. He's trying to cut in a goal. He's right in a goal. Goal! Chance for Holland breaking down the left wing. Holland's in over the line trying to drive to the net. A shot, he scores! Peter Holland!
You're listening to Brady and Walker on Sportsnet 590, The Fan.
7:02, good morning, Brady and Walker. Big weekend for the Leafs that win, of course, Thursday over Tampa. And then Saturday, 4-1 over the Detroit Red Wings. Has the dust settled down a little bit? Like getting into a big fight with your significant other. Have these two sides kind of met in the middle as we go forward on a new week, Greg?
Why were you fighting with my significant other? What happened? you both can't have me 24 right, hours yeah. a day. I know you both want
plenty of Brady to go around.
There was just enough. Yeah, I mean, you outscore your opposition 9-3. They're division rivals. They're conference rivals. If anything, Detroit might be the team, maybe one of the last teams that'll stand in the way of that 8 or 7 spot that we think the Leafs are going to end up with. Is the noise, yeah, it's going to be quieter and they don't play again. But I think if you play the what did we learn game, well, we've learned the Leafs' identity is that of inconsistency, right? The identity of them. You couldn't have played two worse games back-to-back. And I would hope that people couldn't have been more impressed by how they played Thursday and Saturday. I think that's the Leafs at maximum 14-15 Leafs. That's as well as they can do it.
This whole mess between the current edition of the team, the battle that they seem to have against public perception and fans and media, and we had the jerseys being thrown on the ice, and then we had the stupid salute gate thing. Is there a possibility that when all is said and done in this, it could be a bit of a internal rallying point for this group? Whether you agree with the childish stance or not.
I suppose that was the original intention. When we talked about it Friday, we said, look, this is going to get very, very silly later today. And boy, did it ever. And at the same time, then Saturday, we're all now in on getting frames of video. We just had the 51st anniversary of the JFK assassination with the Zapruder film. And now we've got what appears to some to be Stefan Robita trying to talk Dion Phaneuf into the team, just raising their sticks in front of their goal crease.
Yeah, it's very CSI right now.
Instead of going to center ice. And I don't have an opinion either way on it. The opinion I do have is that the Leafs kind of blew it. It's nothing you're going to strip Dion Phaneuf's captaincy over. You're not going to ship him out of town, but it was a bad call by the Leafs to do it. But I don't care about it, and you don't care about it, and the vast majority of smart people don't care about it. But the bottom line is, you got to be careful not to stir the pot, and not saluting stirs the pot.
Well,
there isn't any question.
You know what
about
it was? You know what it was at the end of the day? It was the leadership on the team cracking. Did they have a point? Did they have reason to be upset? Sure, they did. But they cracked.
Why did they?
Because they've lost 8 games, and 6 of those, they see their own fans throwing their jerseys over the
ice. Okay, so you're talking about the reaction,
right?
People thinking they're the worst team ever created.
Yes.
Okay, I got that.
I think the fans overreacted, the media overreacted, but I still think that at the end of the day, that group in there, the leadership cracked a little bit in the sense of they were so upset with everything going on. That said, people were in on us, you know, social media, and people were talking about this whole salute thing and said, this is a media-driven story. But it really wasn't, because they did it. And they did it on purpose.
Yeah, they absolutely did it on purpose. And you think about coming off 2 games. If they'd come off let's say that they come off the Pittsburgh game, and then let's say it's an overtime loss in Buffalo. The game you're at, they roar back and end up losing 5-4 in overtime. And then they beat Nashville and do it after that game. You're going, wait a minute. This is your reaction. We then say, well, yeah, then it is media driven. If another jersey was tossed onto the ice during an overtime loss, that's fine. But they could have picked 2 worse games back to back. I mean, they may be the 2 worst Leaf back to back efforts/results
ever
that people have seen since the Ballard era. So you're going all the way back to that and going, and then you win a game and now you feel you've been wronged. I agree with you. They have been wronged earlier in the season when they're losing games in overtime and by one goal and people are throwing $200 sweaters on the ice and booing the power play. But lots of teams, I mean, LeBron James got booed Saturday night when they lost to the Raptors. The Cavs are getting booed off the floor. The Canadians would have been booed at home last night had they had that kind of effort last night at home instead of Madison Square Garden. Booing happens.
But it felt like this was reaching bigger proportions. This was reaching critical mass for a team that is
fragile,
11-8-2.
But with veteran players who've won something, who handle it better, it doesn't reach critical mass. You said it, and I agree with you, they cracked. Well, I understand now people saying, should we get people that don't crack as easily? Should we get people that aren't that aren't scrambled eggs when adversity faces them? Because we've seen them crack in terms of results before. We've seen them have a playoff crackdown. We've seen them have a couple regular season crackdowns, right?
7:08, Brady and Walker. Jonathan Bernier plays well against Tampa, plays very well against Detroit in that 4-1 win Saturday. Are we finally seeing a bit of a shift here in terms of this whole 1A, 1B mentality?
Well, it just may be happening, Andrew, earlier than it did last year. There just aren't that many. There aren't back-to-back situations for James Reimer to squeeze in there. And maybe there was a little, was there a shot at Bernier for how often Reimer was playing earlier on in the season? Maybe so. I mean, he won the net. He got the net after the two losses to Montreal and Pittsburgh. He wins against the Rangers, gets a lot of offensive support, and then he gets a lot of games in quick succession. The only one Bernier got in and started was the second half of that Red Wings Leafs game. So it's, you're a long way away. The next back to back isn't from six games from now. So I would expect Jonathan Bernier starts every game up until the 9th and 10th. Calgary's here on the Tuesday night. The Leafs go to Detroit on the Wednesday night. Do you agree? We'll see Bernier and nothing else.
Yeah, the only thing is we've been down this road before, right? Where we say, boy, it really looks like they're committing to Jonathan Bernier to be their number one guy. Until he is an off game, and in comes James Reimer, and wouldn't you know it, Reimer shuts the door.
But the commitment was there post, say, Winter Classic. And Bernier didn't have some great games in January, but they stuck with him.
Stuck with him, yeah.
Until his injury, yep. And then they were forced to go to Reimer. It's not a great thing if Bernier gets hurt again and you haven't exactly utilized Reimer to the best. I still say there's not that much of a talent distinction between the two. Some people disagree, some people agree with it.
But there's a lot of people that have been around this game for a long time. I know Glenn Healy's one of them, that says this team needs to make that decision. You can't have two number ones and you toss them around like juggling balls. You have to say, in terms of roles, you're our guy and you're the guy in case.
Well, two very good results for Bernier to roll into the next little stretch with. And like we said, they've only got three games in the next 9 days, and Jonathan Bernier probably starts all of them.
7:10, Brady and Walker. The Capitals in town on Saturday. You want tickets? We have them for you in about 4 or 5 minutes from now, courtesy of the Great Blue Heron Casino. First, let's get you what you need to know.
This is your Monday morning six-pack. Six things you need to start your day.
Number six, no, it's not some crappy 80s band, so Greg Brady's not overly excited. But Katy Perry officially will do the halftime show February 1st at
Steve Perry.
Super Bowl.
Yeah.
I'm excited, but not even from a musical
standpoint.
Well,
not that excited.
Well, all the guys have their lists, right? Their top five list, their top three list. Katy Perry is right at the top of mine. If not directly on top, she might be my number one.
Does marrying Russell Brand hurt her brand, if you will, at all, though? That's a bad decision. Everybody knows somebody who knows somebody who makes a bad call marriage-wise.
Well, they're divorced now.
Oh, so she saw the light at the end of the day?
Yeah, well, maybe.
Maybe he was, if he got tired of her, that's a very bad sign.
Number five, she won't be doing Katy Perry, the halftime show at the Grey Cup. That will be Imagine Dragons, but the Grey Cup matchup for next Sunday in Vancouver is set. The Calgary Stampeders roll over Edmonton in the West Final, and Hamilton gets a couple of punt return touchdowns in a win over the Montreal Alouettes. So Hamilton and Calgary, they've met before for the Grey Cup. They will again on Sunday.
Pretty exciting plays. Brandon Banks, that sort of took everybody out.
I got a rouge for you right here.
You know, we're allowed to talk about the CFL for
you. It's not the day of the draft or anything. The import draft coming up anytime soon?
No, it's like the Canadian college draft where the kicker is going first overall out of Western.
Yeah. Did we mention anything about Mac's offensive line?
All right.
From Mitchell Utah Bowl?
Sunday, it'll be Hamilton. It'll be Calgary. Oh. I imagine the Stampeders will be. God, I'm thinking like an 8.5-point
favorite.
You
and your numbers.
Number four, shortstop Hanley Ramirez, the free agent, reportedly set to sign today, Greg, with the Boston Red Sox. Is Pablo Sandoval going to be that far behind?
It makes for maybe the most potent infield offensively if they get both of them. That's an awful lot of money committed, and for a Red Sox team that really struggled. That July series, they came in here. They won the first game, 15-1, and then couldn't get anybody out for the next three. It's going to be fascinating to see what they do to fix their starting rotation. Nobody needs to fix the rotation in the American League more than the Red Sox. So spending $160 million on the left side of the infield, it's kind of intriguing.
Number three, as mentioned, Leafs weekend, that 4-1 victory over the Detroit Red Wings. So the bleeding has been stopped. Everybody's calmed down a little bit in Leafs Nation. But will the train get started up again as they go into Pittsburgh Wednesday? The good news for Toronto, Greg, is they expect Joffrey Leupel to be back in the lineup.
And David Booth played with the Marlies this weekend, albeit the Marlies struggling a lot. 7 straight losses for them. But David Booth may get in the lineup as well.
I think he should stay there, but that's just me. Number two, NFL Sunday Nighter, the Dallas Cowboys get it done, 31-28 over the New York Giants. We continue to have this battle between us. You're an Eagles guy, I'm a Cowboys guy.
But not really even a fan.
No, just in terms of how we think these teams rank. Are you coming any closer to my side of the fence now?
Dallas, no, because I think I've always said Dallas is very, very talented. I question their coaching, and a lot of people have questioned Jason Garrett. And now I
carving him yesterday in the first quarter.
I questioned Tony Romo's health. I had one tweet that was a little, I was bad. I turned into anti-Romo guy for 2 minutes, and I hate
you
that.
You should win worst tweet at 8:13.
It was a very bad. Can I delete it? And then I pretend it never happened.
I was hacked.
I should consider such a thing. But we get Eagles. Oh my heavens! City TV 4:30, right after Bears Lions on City. We get Philadelphia in Dallas. Second Thanksgiving game.
I think we should wager on this. For once and for all, we'll settle it. Both teams on short rest. I think we should wager on this one. I'll let you think about it.
Yeah, the double or nothing will be,
the
Arizona Cardinals not winning a playoff game. Your Arizona Cardinals.
And the number one thing you need to know, the Toronto Raptors home to the Phoenix Suns tonight. What a weekend. They dismantle Milwaukee, and then they absolutely kill the Cleveland Browns, or the Cleveland Cavaliers, pardon me,
sure,
in Cleveland, and now sit with a record of 11-2. We got the game tonight, Sportsnet 590, The Fan. Beginning at 7:30, it'll be Eric and Paul with the pregame show at 7.
And Tyler Ennis will join the Jeff Blair Show, by the way, in the 11 o'clock hour today, out of Syracuse, left after his freshman year. Now, he went down, he played opening night for the Suns, then went down to the D League and did some time there, and is back with the Phoenix Suns. But we'll see if he does indeed get into the lineup. Or are they having Tyler Ennis of the Sabres on? That's also possible.
Yeah, that's
true.
Have
them both on.
We
could
be right off base
here.
Yeah. Dwayne Casey, by the way, on Brady and Walker coming up at 8:40 this morning. The Washington Capitals, they're in town to take on Toronto on Saturday. We want to send you, courtesy of the Great Blue Heron Casino, name us that mystery player. We'll give you three clues throughout the morning. Here is clue number two. He was a 20-goal man when he played for Toronto for a couple of years, but three times he was up over 30 with the New York Islanders. Your third and final clue and chance to win coming up at 8:14 this morning.
Coming up at 7:30, a movie about archery wins the box office again. Who'd have ever saw this coming? I don't understand anything about this, and I'm going to keep it that way. I'll explain that.
And Mike Johnson's take on the current state of the Leafs, our NHL insider, joins us at 7:22.
As an unlicensed doctor, we suggest a prescription for one of our shows. Sign up for our free podcast at iTunes or with your favorite podcatcher. Fake doctor's orders. Sportsnet 590 The Fan on demand. You're listening to Brady and Walker on Sportsnet 590 The Fan.
Broussard pass up. Here's Nash. Right in there. Goes. Rick Nash. And it's 5-0.
Yeah, it was all Rangers last night. Rogers' hometown hockey on City was at MSG. 5-0 Rangers over the Habs. yet nobody was throwing Habs jerseys, and the players will still like sign autographs.
They're hard
the
to
fans.
Find in New York, though. What would they have? What would they have thrown if that result happened in Montreal last
Nothing.
Night? You have to think about these hypotheticals.
Maybe garbage. It is Montreal. They do throw that once.
They like fire there. The ice lights up on fire. So a kid skates a torch out. So there's a lot of pyrotechnics. A lot more.
Mike Johnson, our NHL Sports and Insider, joining us in a second. By the way, Buffalo Bills, Cleveland Browns tickets. We have them all week. What could be a very big game in the AFC. And coming up in about 6-7 minutes from now, we'll tell you how to win.
You see, they're trying to get scalp tickets up to $150 for the Bills-Jets game at Ford Field tonight.
Aren't they giving them away for free?
They were. But so somebody did a story on scalpers outside Ford Field selling them for $150. Like with Leaf games, you always see the same guys outside the ACC. And I never want to say to them, look, come on, buddy, what'd you get these for? Like, I'm never really in that market, in the secondary ticket market. I'm going or I'm not. But some people obviously show up quite desperate. But you can imagine these guys, like, what's their explanation? Well, what'd you get these for? Nothing. That's not, hey, you know, I had to buy them over face value from somebody else. And you don't understand how this works. My price is my price. There will be none of that today at Ford Field.
That is true.
We'll see what kind of crowd they get. Mike Johnson joins us, our NHL and Sportsnet insider. Brought to you by Sicily Honda. You and Paul did Red Wings Leafs. We'll get to that in a sec. But some people think Montreal has not played great hockey, Mike, for being a sort of wire-to-wire first place Eastern Conference 16-6-1 team. Now, you probably saw them at their worst last night, but 23 games in, what have been your observations of the Habs?
I think that's fair to say. I think that their record is better than they've played. You look at their stats, their numbers. They've done well in shootouts, which always helps pad the stats. They've won all their close games, and the games that they've lost, they've been blown out in. Like, they have 6 regulation losses, 4 of which they've been shut out. One's been 7-1, and one's been 6-2. So when they lose, they go down in flames. But I think you're right with regards to power play, the goal differential, even possession stats. They haven't been the best team in the league, even though you can't take away the points that they've earned up to this point.
Yeah, they're four. You nailed it. They're 4 regulation losses even this month. 6-2 to Calgary, 5-0 to Chicago, 4-0 to Pittsburgh, 5-0 to the Rangers. So you're outscored. God, you're outscored 20-2 in 4 games, and that'll creep up on you.
It will, and it's great they have Carey Price because he keeps them in a lot of games, and he has that confidence, and the team has that confidence to pull out those close games. But there are still several areas of the way that they play that Michel Therrien is going to want them to tighten up on to sustain this, to keep this a first-place team the entire year.
Mike Johnson joins us, Brady and Walker, Sportsnet 590 The Fan. You've spent a lot of time in this market, both as a player and in the media doing the games. We know that it's Leafs crazy. We know that fans and media can overreact all the time. Did this last week around this hockey team here get especially crazy for you?
It absolutely did. And I know I played during a different era. Social media wasn't around. There weren't as many vehicles to report on the team. But it felt, after the Tampa win, those couple days, different. It was frenetic. It was a feeding frenzy down at the practice at MasterCard. And I know they brought much of this on themselves because they elected to do what they did. But it did feel different, and it was almost comical to watch the intense, white-hot focus that this decision and the rationale behind it, it caused the media, the fans, the team, the organization. I'd never seen anything like it.
So are we able to take a deep breath now that both sides, fans have pouted and the players have pouted, and then you pick up a couple victories? Can everyone move on? Like, is this team good enough that they can show some resolve and play well for an extended period?
No. I mean, I think you've seen what you're going to see, in that they can play well. They can beat good teams. They can look like they're pretty good. And then they can go turn around and play poorly and lose badly. And I don't think we should expect an extended run of good play. I think we should expect some good games, some bad games, just like we've seen up until this point. But I do think in the dressing room, while the last few days were unusual and intense, I don't think the players care that much about the reaction. I think they just want to focus on the games and play that. The debate that was going on between the media and the fans about who did what and why was not something that was going to really impact the players in the room.
Yeah, and I think that's what it's more the... It's almost like a family situation. It's not that you did it, but it comes down to why you did it. And it just, we didn't know where it would go Friday morning when we left the airwaves, Mike. But the FNUF explanation that, well, it's just we want to change a bunch of things up. And he can't answer what the other things are or why a post-game celebration would impact winning or losing. I mean, think about it. A week ago, you're on our airwaves. You're in this segment. And all we're talking about is, hey, Phil Kessel ran away from a reporter Saturday. And that felt like it was going to be the best. Can we get back to hockey? And we thought we would after that controversy.
We thought we would. but listen, the only question probably long-term that may come up from this situation is that whoever made the decision or was part of making that decision to not salute, and it doesn't matter if they don't salute the fans, if they don't ever do it again.
No, it doesn't.
The fans really care one way or the other. But the fact that they chose to do it at that moment, given their previous two results, I think that might raise some questions as to the, I don't want to say the leadership or care, but the mentality of the guys who made the decision. And if they wanted to give a passive-aggressive, we're not happy with you, is a polite way to put it, fans, well, why would they do that? And why did they choose to do that? And why did no one stand up and say, you know what, maybe not right now, maybe not now is not the best idea? That's maybe the only long-term question going forward. The explanation by Dion Phaneuf was, I think, concocted by the PR staff and flimsy at best. But again, that's neither here nor there. I think the only long-term question is, who made the decision, why, and what does that say about how they feel about playing in Toronto?
Mike, thanks so much for this. Appreciate it. Great job with Paul the last two nights, and we'll talk next Monday.
All right, boys. Sound good. Have a good day.
There's Mike Johnson joining us.
Interesting thoughts. What my takeaway from that is that if you are someone that likes to overreact, if the ebbs and flows of this team in this season is too much for you, if you're going to throw your jersey when they lose and, you know, parade around the streets when they win, it's not ending anytime soon, according to Mike Johnson. There's going to be bad losses and there's going to be inexplicable victories. That's just kind of how this team rolls. Right?
Yeah.
So get used to it.
But aren't they, don't you clump them in, lump or clump, with New Jersey, Washington, Ottawa, maybe Detroit? There's just going to be teams that are going to go, how can they look so good on Friday night, and then Sunday afternoon they come out and spit the bit, right?
Yeah, you're right. Bills coming up tonight on Monday Night Football. They take on the Jets, of course, in Detroit. Now, their next game goes against the Cleveland Browns on Sunday. And we're giving away two tickets all week long, plus exclusive pregame hospitality at Rogers Tap House, including free food, drinks, and entertainment, brought to you by Roam Like Home. Rogers Share Everything customers can roam like home and use their regular phone plan for just $5 a day in the U.S. To enroll, just text travel to 222 and roam on. We're giving tickets away all week long. Give me a number between 1 and 10.
12.
All right, call a number 12 right now. You get Bills tickets, 416-870-0590-590 on your cell phone. So I don't know what your plans were over the weekend or this week coming up, but are you an opening night movie guy?
No, I can't think of the last time I've walked into a theater on a Friday and
with advanced tickets.
Now advanced tickets are smart. They definitely are. If you're planning to go to a movie at a given time, I am more an advanced ticket person now than ever. It's amazing. It took till deep into the 21st century for them to come up with the concept.
So the leading box office movie over this weekend was the third Hunger Games with Jennifer Lawrence and
Woody
Harrelson.
Other people, right? Liam Hemsworth. Woody Harrelson's in this one, right?
Yes, that's right. Correct.
I do not know anything about these movies.
What about your kids? Your kids aren't Hunger Games kids?
No. I think if they're a little bit older. I think the wheelhouse is 11 years old maybe and a little bit beyond. It involves, bows and arrows, right? Like, I'm not saying this because I don't know what the movie is about.
Bows and arrows.
But you know when you see, here's Liam Neeson and he's on a plane and someone's murdering people. I know what that movie is about. And I know what comedy, hey, let's be cops, that movie. I can get a sense as that we're... I don't know anything about these. Are they overly violent? Is there magic involved?
Are there wizards?
You literally know nothing.
Do you know anything about it?
Yes, quite a bit. I mean, I never read the books, and I'm not dressing up to see it on Friday as it opens. But I will go, like, tomorrow maybe or this week.
So what are they about? You've seen the movies then?
I don't know. They're about stuff. What happens?
No, that doesn't. That doesn't work.
Teenagers killing teenagers. Basically,
is that all it is?
Yeah, it's like it's violent, but it's like preteen violent. What? It's not like Blade with Wesley.
Is this a time set in the future? Is it set in a parallel universe?
I don't have time to explain the plot of Hunger Games.
You're not
for
under
you.
Oath here.
7:34. Brady and Walker. Grapevine coming up. Don Cherry, Brian Williams. Don,
he
talks
would know.
About his days riding buses in the AHL on the New York State Thruway. Hungry. Now I'm hungry.
Yeah, I don't blame you one bit. 7:42, we'll talk more about the Raptors, who could go to 12-2 tonight hosting the Phoenix Suns. Why? It may not be just about what they're doing, but obviously what everybody else in the Eastern Conference is doing is why the Raptors might end up being a one seed going into the playoffs. I said it.
This ain't like when you're at a game and sign up for a credit card just to get the prize and then you immediately cancel the credit card. Because there's no prize when you sign up for our radio shows at iTunes or with your favorite podcatcher. Sportsnet 590 The Fan on demand. This is Brady and Walker on Sportsnet 590 The Fan.
Finding Chuck Hayes. Great pass to DeRozan on the baseline for the two-hand flush. How about the big man, Chuck Hayes?
7:43, Brady and Walker on your Monday. Lots to get to, including the Buffalo Bills playing for their season tonight. At home, technically, but in Detroit. Joe Biscaglia will join us from WGR 550 in Buffalo to set up this game. We can tell you this morning, the rumors are indeed true. John Heyman tweeting the Boston Red Sox, not only will they sign Hanley Ramirez today, but Pablo Sandoval is going to the Red Sox as well. 5 years, looking at close to $100 million. So the Red Sox, 1-9, going to be pretty potent next season. The Toronto Raptors, Greg, they win 2 on the weekend. They're now 11-2. They not only crush the Milwaukee Bucks on Friday, they do the same thing to LeBron James and the Cavaliers on Saturday. What was your biggest impression here?
Biggest impression was just winning a game that we would have said when the game starts. It's okay if they lose. It's explainable. It's understandable if they lose. And then they start to lose and badly, and you go, whoa, okay. It'll be even worse than you might have imagined because Cleveland is Cleveland.
Yeah, but Cleveland's good. It's second game as many nights. You're on the road.
They're angry. You don't want to let it's like the let sleeping dog lie thing in sports. And Cleveland got pumped by Washington the night before. They'd lost 3 straight coming in, and things just weren't pretty. And then Raptors start to make shots. Cleveland starts to miss shots. And just it all fell apart. And it fell apart at home, too. Again, if Cleveland rolls in here and it's at the ACC and they get up 24-8 and start off on an 8-0 run to start the game and then blow it, you go, well, the home crowd brought the Raptors back in and Cleveland might have been a little road fatigue. It's their 4th road game in 7 days. None of these are factors here. None of them are factors here. Cleveland now 5.5 games behind the Raptors' pace. It's easy to be skeptical about the Toronto sports teams and the Toronto sports scene. Sometimes we get accused of it. I generally don't think it's fair. I think we just say when teams play well and teams don't play well. But I don't think it's silly. I don't think it's beyond the realm of possibility. The Raptors are 10-1 odds to get out of the East. Those odds are going to go down. Ergo, more people are going to think the Raptors are potentially, Andrew, an NBA Finals team. And I said this to somebody Thursday night before the Friday pounding of Milwaukee and the Saturday win. And I also said Friday morning, I woke up and said, I wouldn't be shocked if the Raptors lose this game. Milwaukee's on a good run right now. Maybe there's a bit of a letdown after beating Memphis.
And it looked like a team in a different league.
Yeah, have not been any letdowns at all in 13 games. They lost a very tight game against a healthy Miami team. Early on in the season.
And there was that sobering kind of game against the Chicago Bulls that still came down to the fourth quarter.
But what I disagreed, you're right, what I disagreed, the sentiment was that I disagreed with was, hey, Bulls are really good. The Raptors are just good. They're ways away from being great. And while that may be true, what would we say Friday morning, November 14th, after the 7-point loss, we said, the Bulls are going to have a tough time keeping Derrick Rose in the lineup. And win-wise, the Raptors may eclipse the Bulls, and they may not even have to try. Now, what we didn't count on then was the Cavs. The Cavs haven't won a game since then, and they're 5-7 right now. I'm telling you, it's as exciting. It wasn't this exciting when Vince was playing. It wasn't during the regular season. People love their individual plays and their super slam dunk highlights and all that. But the team wasn't playing. That gets lost in this. The team rose up and surprised people when they won in the playoffs.
They're playing the best basketball in franchise history right now.
Yeah.
Right? You know what my impression was this weekend? And, like, there's Kyle Lowry running the point. And we all know this is kind of his team. He's the leader here. He re-signs. He wants to be here. And right now in Toronto sports, he's a top five most popular player. But there was, I think, and I know we've had the odd on-air on Twitter battle about it. There's this sentiment that you know, Kyle Lowry, it's okay to like him, but, you know, he doesn't rank where this guy is or where this guy is. And I'm starting to change that. I know Kyle Lowry doesn't necessarily have the pedigree of, I mean, he's a little older. It took him a little longer to figure it out. He wasn't that right at the top first round pick. But you see the guys he's playing against night after night now. And Mike Conley, Kyrie Irving, John Wall. You're telling me you'd want any of those guys over Kyle Lowry? I'm thinking more and more.
Yeah,
that
I
wouldn't.
Which ones do you want me to name?
Right, Kyrie Irving first overall, right? And they match up. Guess who plays better? Kyle Lowry, the guy on this side.
Yeah, I'd rather
night after night after night, Greg. He wins that matchup.
I sure'd rather have John Wall. I mean,
why?
Why?
Kyle Lowry plays every time they play.
Well, he's younger. Okay, they played one time this year, and Wall didn't have the starting
point. What about last year?
That's like Kyle Lowry playing the other night without DeMar DeRozan against John Wall and Bradley Beal. We might have had a different result. That's the worst game the Wizards have played this year also. I'm not counting out the Wizards.
I'm just saying, find me a guy that's going to beat Kyle Lowry heads up one game this year, and then I guess we'll talk.
Well, they're all in the West, okay? To me, there's Steph Curry. There's a healthy Russell Westbrook when he's healthy, and there's Chris Paul. And then there's everybody. But if you want to say that Lowry's in this group with everybody else, I'm not disagreeing with you. It's just a question of personal preference.
7:49, the Buffalo Bills are 5-5, and safe to say, Greg, they need a victory tonight on Monday Night Football to keep their playoff hopes alive in a very competitive AFC right now.
7 o'clock start at Ford Field. They'll stagger this. So by about halftime of this game, the usual Monday Nighter will start between the Ravens and New Orleans. Joe Biscaglia from WGR 550 will be sidelines for the Bills broadcast tonight, and he joins us now from Detroit. Joe, thanks for making the time. We appreciate it.
No problem, guys.
Now, the thing I heard that most upset fans of the mighty, mighty Detroit Lions is they put the Bills logo at the 50-yard line instead of. So they've rolled out the carpet, proverbial carpet, couldn't be more rolled out for the quote-unquote home team tonight, could it?
Yeah, they've actually made it very easy for the Bills to try and adapt themselves to life in Detroit for a few days. I mean, they opened up the doors completely for the practice facilities over at Allen Park, Michigan. They have allowed them to practice in full on Friday night, Saturday night, on Sunday. So they have gone out of their way to, like, set up a locker room even in the practice facility. This has been the Lions have really done whatever they could for the Bills to, you know, feel at least a little bit at home. And then, of course, doing the end zones and the 50-yard line with Bills logos and the Bills script. I mean, it's not going to be home, but it's going to feel a little bit better like home. But I have no idea what to expect from the crowd in itself, because a lot of free tickets and even a Detroit sports station pushing for fans to root for the Jets because Schwartz was asked to be taken off the field or carried off the field. So when the Bills beat the Lions, so it's going to be an interesting night for sure.
With two seemingly winnable games against the Jets this week and admittedly pretty good Cleveland Browns team coming in next week, what's the fan sentiment in Buffalo right now? Because Miami loses yesterday and Kansas City loses a gimme game to Oakland on Thursday night. The Bills fans kind of still see them as in this playoff chase.
Yes and no. I think fans understand that they're a bit behind the eight ball when it comes to the tie-breaking scenarios. And if they lose this one, I don't think there's any shot. I think they need to win both these next two to have any shot at getting in the playoffs, because there's already four teams in the wild card hunt at the moment that have 7 wins. through 11 games. So if you fall down by two games and you're behind four other teams by two games and you don't have the tiebreaker on any of them, because if they lose this game tonight, they're 2-6 in the conference, and that's not getting anything done with the tiebreaker. So they need to really win these next two, especially with the December that they have at Denver, at home against Green Bay, at Oakland, at New England. This is a very important game tonight, and it's going to be interesting because the Jets really didn't come to play last time these two teams met, and they've been playing a lot better since. So the Bills really need to be on their best game tonight, because I think they're going to get quite a little performance by the Jets.
Yeah, I was thinking about them. They needed a break. They needed the Rams to beat that Chargers team yesterday, which they could have done. They're 2 yards away. They need some help from New Orleans tonight against Baltimore. You're right. The days of thinking you can make it. I mean, we've had 8-8, 9-7 teams make it. Feels like every year is the sixth seed in the AFC, Joe, and it probably isn't the case this year. Now, Doug Marrone says Fred Jackson likely to play. Do you have a guess as to how much he gets utilized, given the running game did struggle so much against Miami a couple Thursdays ago?
Well, he's had a solid couple of weeks off now because he didn't play against the Miami Dolphins, and so he is. I think he's getting closer and closer to being fully back. Now, he was still listed on the injury report. I think that's more of a precautionary thing than anything, but I would expect Fred Jackson to be back almost to full capacity coming up in this Jets game, and that's big for them, and not only from a rushing perspective, because they're not going to be able to run the ball all that well against this Jets front. I mean, Fred Jackson will break a couple of bigger runs, but this front seven is very good for the Jets. But when you have Fred Jackson in there, who's good, especially on third downs, not only in the screen game and just out of the backfield catching the passes, but also from picking up blitzes and pass protection for Kyle Orton, giving him a little bit extra time back there against that porous Jets secondary, I think that's where he really makes his biggest impact. So I would expect him to play, right around half the snaps of this game, and Bryce Brown still getting a role too.
I read something the other day about how this is a dangerous spot for Buffalo, in the sense of the Jets are traveling anyway, so they go to Detroit, no big deal. Buffalo players, I mean, they're thinking about getting out of their homes and shuffling out from under this snow, and then all of a sudden there's the neutral site game for them. Do you have a little bit of a feeling like that?
Yeah, I mean, I think it could go one of two ways. It just can completely derail them, or it could actually, in a way, bring them together. Because they all kind of went through it. They've been through two losses that have, one game that they probably should have won against Kansas City, and then against Miami on Thursday night, where they could just never get anything going from an offensive perspective. I think the snowstorm might have actually been therapeutic in a way to help relieve them of the tension of losing those two games. So it could go one of two ways tonight, and that's why I'm so interested to see it. I think it's going to be a very neutral type of crowd, which will make for an interesting day to see how the Bills react to this, because it's not a home game. It's not at Ralph Wilson Stadium. They don't have that advantage. And really, how they react to kind of a sterile crowd will be likely a telltale of how their end of the season is going to go.
It's 7 o'clock tonight. Bills and Jets, they're at it. We appreciate the time this morning, Joe. Thanks so much.
Thanks, guys. Appreciate it.
There's Joe Biscaglia. Does a great job. Bills reporter, WGR 550. Yeah, they had Vikings-Giants in Detroit 4 years ago when the Metrodome roof collapsed, but people in Detroit hate the Vikings, so it was easy to pull for the Giants. Yeah, I agree. It'll be a weird, really weird... It'd be such a different atmosphere than the games in Toronto have been, where you've had traditional teams like the Bears, the Dolphins, the Jets come in here, and some people have cheered for the quote-unquote visiting team.
7:55, Brady and Walker at 8:02, back in on the Leafs. Did they calm everybody's nerves with a weekend win over the Detroit Red Wings?
And did a Leaf have worst tweet of the day coming up at 8:13?
Spoiler alert.
Yes. Maybe.
Yes, he did.